You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Mac Taylor has served the state of California as the legislative analyst since 2008. Overall, though, he's had a 40-year career with the LAO, and he's only the fifth person to serve in the role as top budget expert. He analyzes the numbers, he advises lawmakers on how new laws will impact the state's coffers. This summer, Mr. Taylor announced that he's going to retire, and he talked recently with CAP Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler about his career. He was remembering the first day at work as California was entering the Great Recession.
Yeah, when I took over the office in October of 2008, we were just really beginning to realize how bad things were. And it was quite a 3, 4, 5 years that followed in which we were basically in 24/7 budget, dealing with special sessions, continually updating the nature of the problem. It was always getting worse. We would talk in terms of $20 billion problems, and then we would add on $10 billion more the next time we updated our numbers. And it was a really remarkably bad time. But out of that has come, I think, a lot of good. The economy recovered. We had, until recently, a very good stretch in financial markets. And the state has taken some really good actions as far as building up its reserve to protect against the next recession. So yes, it's been quite a turnaround, and that's normal in business cycles. You're always going to go from your bottom, your trough, to a peak, and we just hope that we continue to grow for a few more years.
Not just normal in business cycles, but normal under California's volatile tax system. Even with the rainy day fund that voters approved as Proposition 2 in 2014, California's tax system, the way it is structured, is going to go up and down like the biggest of roller coasters. Can you explain to folks why that is and whether you think that's dangerous or not?
Well, we first started talking about revenue volatility back in 2005. And the revenue structure has gotten more and more volatile as we've become more dependent on the personal income tax. And we've taken some other actions that have actually, the state has given some of our sales tax, which is a less volatile source of money, to local governments. So, and we've added on higher rates with the passage of various propositions. So we've actually made our system even more volatile. And that's basically because we rely a lot on high income taxpayers. And we have a high concentration of income with a rather small number of taxpayers. And so when financial markets are doing well, you have large capital gains, you have other business income, stock options, and those go up and down a lot more than what most people have as their source of income, which is wages and salaries, which tend to be much more stable. So you can do one of two things when you have a volatile revenue structure. You can either change that structure, which would mean making it less dependent on the personal income tax or less dependent on high income taxpayers.
And which could be controversial because you might have to extend the sales tax to services. So you're paying a tax for your haircut, for example.
Or you would have to have higher income people pay lower rates, or maybe you tax capital gains at a preferential rate, which is what they do at the federal level. So you're right, that can be very sensitive. So if you're gonna have trouble changing your revenue structure, your best alternative is, and we said this back in 2005, build up your general fund reserves.
Let's pause for a moment and put this in human terms for folks who maybe do remember the Great Recession and the cuts that California took, or maybe don't, and how there were days removed from the school year, how childcare centers closed or reduced their enrollment, how Medi-Cal reimbursements were paused, how there were even IOUs sent to state workers because the state just did not have the cash. It can't help but strike you at moments in the recession of people's lives being affected in profound ways.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the Great Recession, they called it, because it was one of the worst economic situations since back in the 30s. And so you had these enormous budget deficits meant that a lot of actions had to be taken that affected people's lives, from having to shift some of the cost of our universities to families by rising tuition, some of the cuts to health and human services, and schools took really big cuts. We deferred payments to them. We reduced it under the rules of Proposition 98, but they had real reductions in their per pupil spending. These were really tough times. And fortunately, we've been able to bounce back and really recover in most areas, in almost all program areas. We've been able to get back above where we were pre-recession.
And in fact, you write in your most recent California's Fiscal Outlook a phrase that I don't know if you ever imagined writing, quote, California's budget is in remarkably good shape. Did you ever think you would see the day?
Not at all, nor did I ever believe that we would have the levels of reserves that we now have or that we're now projecting for the near future. It was tough to have any level of reserves in past years or even in the post-Prop 13 period back following 78 because it was used, having reserves was almost a bad thing. That's what helped cause part of the problems back then, I think it was believed. And so to reach the level of reserves that we now have, which is in our rainy day reserve, roughly 10%, and then we also have discretionary reserves that are of greater than that amount, that is really phenomenal progress. And I think the state is in so much better position for the next downturn, which hopefully, when it does come, will be much milder and much shorter than the last one.
And it's always complicated to do an apples-to-apples comparison with such nuanced issues as the budget and revenues, which evolve day-to-day, let alone year-to-year. But Jerry Brown came into office in January of 2011 with a $25 billion budget deficit that grew to a $27 billion deficit before the legislature took its initial actions. Where do you believe he will leave office on January 7th of 2019? With what level of surplus for the state?
Well, I can just point to our last report in which we forecast what the surpluses and the reserves would be at the end of this current fiscal year that we're now in, the 2018-19 year. And we had forecast that we would have about $23 billion in total reserves, which is really quite amazing given where we've been historically.
It's almost a complete 180.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think as we just talked about, it's really necessary. Because again, if you're not going to change your revenue structure, in fact, if you're going to make it more volatile, from the time that we started raising issues about the volatile nature of our revenue structure, we've made it more volatile. And again, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that you need to make sure that from a budgeting perspective, you have the means, that is big reserves, large reserves, to deal with that volatility.
We're talking with Mac Taylor, who is retiring as California's legislative analyst at the end of the month after a decade leading the office and decades plural in the field. And for folks who might not know what the legislative analyst office is, just a quick elevator speech on it.
Sure. Well, we're a nonpartisan office, which is one of, our unique traits. We don't work for one party or the other. We think of ourselves as serving the entire legislature, all 120 members. And we're an institutional office. We're there to serve their interest. And we do that by critiquing the administration's a way of implementing programs, of looking and seeing if there are ways to make programs more efficient or effectively run. But we also then just provide a lot of information to the legislature to help them do their job, whether it's our expenditure and revenue forecast or just providing information on how programs work or responding to their request for information.
We talk about the budget having gone from a major deficit to a major surplus over the last decade. And the choices that Governor Brown and the legislature and the voters made played a big role. I wonder if you might highlight a couple of other things that happened. The economy really brought in a lot of money that helped in ways that no actions of the governor and legislature and voters could have done. And then also Proposition 25, the majority vote budget approved just as Arnold Schwarzenegger was leaving office and Jerry Brown was arriving. How key were those?
Well, that certainly made it easy to get budgets done on time. There's no question about that, and to just resolve issues more quickly. I think it is appropriate to mention just the economy. There are factors we just have very little control over, and that's been by far and away the biggest thing that has led to our more successful situation that we're in today. But that shouldn't diminish the actions by the legislature and the governor and the people in voting for, in some cases, to they felt that we needed higher revenues and they wanted greater support of schools. Voting for Proposition 2, which set up these very strong reserve mechanisms, has allowed then the governor to sort of enforce what he wants to do, which is to make sure those reserves get built up. And I think you'll even see in the legislature that they have come around. They really see the importance of having those reserves also, because they don't want to go through what the legislature went through back at the start of the recession.
Institutional memory of this generation of lawmakers, you might say.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely crucial. And I think with the longer term limits, that's really important that you have people who were here and experienced that. Because if you did experience it, you don't want to go through it again.
And I want to ask you a couple of closing questions. First being, what keeps you up at night when you think about California's budget and its economy and the government and the services that it provides? Is it the next recession? Is it those very large unfunded liabilities for pensions, retirement, health benefits, and the like? Is it something else?
Well, as a fiscal person, I do think more about those sort of liabilities. And we have made great progress even on our pensions in funding them over time. We still have large numbers now that people will read about. But we do have in place mechanisms that will pay many of those down over time. It's just it's going to take 20 or 30 years to get there.
Sufficiently paid down over time?
Well, I think we're close, but I think that's the concern, that we stay on track, that we stay focused in making sure that as things change, whether it's the economy or the retirement system changing their investment earnings rates, that could increase our liabilities even more, that we stay on top of it and we make sure that we're paying for the services as we accrue them. That is, you pay as they occur each year. And we still have work to do, for example, on retiree health benefits, both state and local governments. And so we have some big challenges fiscally that even though we're in very good shape now, I don't think we want to lose sight of those.
And finally, what is your advice to Governor-elect Gavin Newsom and the incoming legislature? Given that, I think it's fair to say that Newsom is perceived that he will govern more to the left than Jerry Brown did. And the legislature now has essentially three-quarters majorities of Democrats. And while maybe there's not necessarily an appetite for a broad-based tax increase, it is easier to get to the 41 votes that it takes to pass a budget. A lot easier for Democrats to get there without the votes of moderates. And so what is your advice to the folks who are going to run this state in this new political era that is about to begin here in Sacramento?
Well, I think it's probably close to the same message that we've been talking about for quite some time, and that is you just need to be cautious in your new commitments that you make. We're certainly not saying you can't make any new spending commitments, for example, or if you want to reduce taxes or new tax breaks for certain people or certain groups, you can do those things. You would be crazy to say that you weren't in a position to do some of that. What we tried to show in our recent reports are that even making some additional, what might seem as smaller additional commitments, whether they're one-time or ongoing, can have effects over time that you just need to be concerned about, because once the economy turns down, you don't want to be in a position where you have to go back on those commitments. That's very tough on people once you've given them something or you're providing some service and then you have to take it back. So I think it's really by laying out scenarios where the economy will turn down and to show what happens, I think it just means you need to be cautious in those new commitments.
What's next for you? What do you enjoy doing in your free time that you're going to have a lot more of now?
Well, I'll probably be binging more on Netflix shows, maybe. I don't have to worry about, getting up the next morning. So we'll be doing that, and my wife and I will be traveling and visiting and seeing our grandkids and doing things like that. But no real specific plans as of yet.
How many grandkids?
I have two right now.
Awesome. Well, Mac Taylor, thank you so much for speaking with us and for your years of service to the state of California.
Well, thank you for this discussion today, Ben.
I have a hard time imagining him retired, don't you? So best wishes to Mac Taylor. You can find more state government news at capradio.org. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.